Welcome to Community Conversations, a monthly program on KUMD dedicated to topics of interest in our community and fostering our community connections. I'm your host, Lisa Johnson, and this evening we're talking about owning your own business, small business, in the Northland. It's part of the American dream, working for yourself, owning a small business, but in a struggling economy, is it a life preserver or a pipe dream? We sat down with some local experts to learn more.
I'm Sean Wellnitz, CEO of the Entrepreneur Fund.
Jennifer Pontnan, business consultant with the UMD Center for Economic Development.
And Ron Brochu, I'm co-publisher and editor-writer with Business North.
Owning your own business, it is kind of a part of the American dream, the idea that you can work for yourself. I'll maybe ask you first, Ron, since you own your own business, is it all it's cracked up to be?
It is. It's much different than the corporate world. You can make your own decisions, which is important to me, and implement them the way you see fit, and forge ahead, rely on yourself, and not have to be within some sort of a structure that you can't control.
We hear about the demise of mom-and-pop stores. We hear about big stores coming in and shunting them to the side. Are more Minnesotans going into small business? Small business seems like it's a pretty big deal in the state and in particular in this community.
I think the state of Minnesota has always been very supportive of business. And I think what we've seen in our region over the years, especially with the mining companies, people came here to work for a company, but it's shifted and more people are starting their own businesses lately.
Is there still a place for a small business?
There are. You know, I think with, especially with technology now, we're seeing a lot more people who can access bigger markets than just here in the region. So, you know, having that technology access as well as a network of people who have accessed broader markets give people an opportunity to really make their footprint bigger than just where they're located.
Do you have to have a brick and mortar location necessarily, or does the technology that you were talking about mean that it's possibly easier than ever to get going with a small business?
You know, it is. I think, especially over the last 5 years, you could argue that I'd say the rapid development of technology and entrepreneurship really has accelerated to the point where people who come into it, you know, if they can adopt that skill set to get to the next level, I think the opportunities are bigger. However, that also means really a sharper learning curve as you get into business about, you know, what kind of skill set you need to really access those opportunities. And I think that's what all of us here are gathered around doing on a regular basis.
First of all, let's start by defining small business. Is there a definition of small business that's generally accepted, or is there more than one?
There's definitely more than one explanation or one definition. I think the SBA defines small businesses as, they define it in a number of ways, either by number of employees or amounts of sales in different industries. But a small business could have up to 500 employees, for example, depending on the industry that they're in. So really, when you look at the small business community, most businesses are considered small businesses.
And I think, you know, Karen Mills from the SBA published a nice blog about a month ago, and I thought she articulated it well. You can kind of put them into three categories. There's sole proprietors, small businesses who are doing their own thing. And if you look at job creation, they represent almost a third of all job creation in the United States. And then you can articulate maybe Main Street businesses that are tend to be, you know, the 0 to 10 employees represent probably, you know, another good almost 60% or the remaining portion of that. But there's a small sliver of businesses that we see even here in the region that represents only about 300,000 businesses across the U.S. that are a little more growth oriented. And those businesses tend to be kind of the bigger job creators. But if you looked across the spectrum, I would argue you could look at that from a business standpoint. But I think you've got to look also at you've got the business and what the business is. And I think the entrepreneur behind that business, and they often have different ambitions, goals, opportunities as well as skill sets that they bring to develop those. And when you can really leverage that kind of human talent in the community and the region, I think that's when the opportunities really get exciting. I think that's the fun stuff to watch.
So how is business these days? Ron, that's part of your job, to keep an eye on how business is these days, large, small, in between.
It is doing well in a lot of ways. It tends to do better in some sectors than others over time, and that changes at times. A couple of years ago, the housing market was terrible. Now it's going like crazy. A couple of years ago, mining was going like crazy, and now it's struggling. So it depends, but overall, it appears to be pretty good. It's been good for us.
I think the recession has had a definite impact. You know, we've heard that since 2008. And if you had asked me this question this time last year, I would have said, I think there's a lot of optimism. Things are going better. And you ask that question now, and I say, there's a lot of optimism. Things are going better. So, you know, we're a little more optimistic this year than last year, that things are really on the up and up for mm-hmm. business growth, business sales growth, and just overall business starts.
Did we get hit as hard business-wise with some of those repercussions? Were we insulated from any of those things at all, or did it just maybe take a little longer to creep into our neck of the woods?
I think it always takes a little bit longer for the bad things to reach the Northland, although sometimes they linger. I was away from the business world for a couple of years and worked for the Census Bureau, and we employed a lot of unemployed realtors. So it took a hit, but maybe not as bad as some other places were, especially where maybe there was a lot of commercial loans for commercial property in areas that were overbuilt.
And I would say even I think our economy is a little bit different too then. I mean, if you look, you know, obviously healthcare and mining really contribute a lot to, you know, to employment in the economy here. And we weren't so, you know, bubble prone in terms of the real estate market. So I would say that buffer, but as we look at, you know, certainly the global economy and the mines, as well as the effects of sequestration and healthcare policy, I think we're starting to see some of those changes too. So I think it's there. It's just maybe the peaks and valleys weren't so steep.
You are listening to Community Conversations here on KUMD. We're talking about owning your own business, small business in the Northland this evening. Our guests in the studio are Sean Welnitz. He's the president of the Entrepreneur Fund. Jennifer Pontinen is a business consultant with the Center for Economic Development. And Ron Brochu is the owner editor of Business North. Let's talk a little bit about small businesses and job creation. They don't always create a lot of jobs, and they don't always create a lot of fabulously well-paying jobs. Obviously, if we're looking at small business in a category that can include everything from a business with one person or two people to 500 people, there's a lot of room for differential in there. But what are some of the pros and cons to small businesses in the economy?
I think when you look at the huge companies coming in, you know, they're not necessarily all creating those higher paying jobs as well. There's a variety there as well. And it's easy to look at those and say, look at the big company coming in and say, wow, that's a huge success. Look at all of those jobs created. It takes a lot of small businesses to create that number of jobs. But I think what I've found, you know, working with businesses and working with the employees of those businesses, there's maybe a little more ownership of, you know, that employee feels that sense of ownership in that company, that sense of belonging, that sense that their ideas matter and that they can contribute. So sometimes those jobs are higher quality intrinsically. And they still, when you look at the different options available, they still have, they offer a lot of good jobs, good quality of life, you know, jobs that can provide a good standard of living. So, yes, there's a range, but there's a lot on the high end as well.
And I think you need a good mix of small businesses to really create, I would say, healthy communities and the economy. You know, as Jennifer said, you can have a range of a small, you know, in-home business who, you know, they're generating a good income for themselves, as well as, you know, retail businesses that are creating, you know, 15, 20 employment opportunities for high school students, which are getting, you know, harder and harder to find. So I think you really have to look at the whole and see small businesses playing a key part in that. You know, they're not going to be the whole answer. I think big companies, large attraction are going to come in and always play a key part. But I think really fostering that small business community and not maybe judging them based on, did you create a job at $14 an hour or at $7 an hour, but recognizing they're kind of part of that ecosystem. And it does build community ownership. You know, you've got someone who starts and grows a business, their employees take hold of that as well as their peers and say, hey, they did it. You know, they did it. And I think we could do it too. And that starts to build kind of momentum in each community in the region, which is exciting.
I'm interested in the idea of evaluating a business or a job not simply on what does it pay and what are the benefits like. Can small business address that better in terms of what they can provide for their employees? And as you work with small business people, is this something they're really valuing?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think Ron, you know, in Ron's intro, he talked about, you know, you can have control and ownership. And I think also what you can do as a business owner is you can bring your own set of values and culture to how you want to run a business. And you can bring that. I think a lot of people have done that here successfully. I would actually point one business that stands out to me is Swim Creative and Patrice Bradley downtown. If anyone knows her, she sparks that in her employees, which I think is just amazing. And you see how that builds business, how it makes people want to stay and work for you. And absolutely, I think that's a huge power of small business and entrepreneurs. And I think as you come into starting a small business, to even kind of take that mentality of, you know, I can create something, not just the business, but you can create, you know, employee motivation. You can, you know, create, you know, community ownership. Even the larger firms like Maurice's take a big role in doing that. So I think that's a tremendous asset to kind of growing that capacity. And I think our region culturally really, I think, connects with that too.
Yeah, and we talk a lot to businesses about competitive advantages. You know, they need to stand out from their competitors. Well, having the flexibility, having these other intrinsic benefits for their employees, the ability to be creative, those are competitive advantages as well. And that's how they need to present those to employees. I spend a lot of time talking to businesses about those type of things. And there are a lot of employees that truly value that. And that's what sets this business aside and makes more customers come there.
And I think in this community, because it is small enough, there is a sense that customers will reward a business by saying, I like what you stand for. I like what you're trying to do. I want to do business with you because I appreciate the connection to the community. Is that unusual, do you think? Is that something that is unusual in this community? Or is that something that businesses all over are starting to get hip to?
I think it is unique. You know, I think our region is, you know, we tend to be self-reliant. We tend to be, I think we tend to appreciate our natural resources and our environment. And from my experiences and a lot of business owners, I see that recurring over and over again about that sense of community and, you know, growing up somewhere else where it was more of a company town. You don't see that quite as much either. So I think there are. I'd say Duluth in particular, and I would give credit to the mayor, you know, about making sort of a, making sure this is a unique and niche kind of town where you can have different opportunities. And I think people really resonate with that message and that sense of community that really, I think, shines through in those small businesses too.
Do you have that sense, Ron? What's your background as far as the Northland is concerned? You're not coming to this community as a stranger. You were here at least in college, and you were even at KUMD back in the day.
You know, I was born and raised here, and I guess my whole life had worked for bigger companies. And you can make a big difference and gain customer loyalty if and when you become active in the community. But you still have to have a good product. I mean, you can't have one and not the other.
We talked about the economy struggling. I would imagine that it would present a unique set of challenges, but also a unique set of opportunities for small business.
Yeah, it really gave businesses the opportunity to really examine their business and figure out what was working and what wasn't working. And unfortunately, they had to do that out of necessity, you know, because there were changes going on. Not as many customers were coming through the door. So that's what I saw. And that's what I worked a lot with businesses on is let's take a look. Let's see what's working well, what's not working well. Let's look at your product mix. Let's look at your customer mix. Are there other opportunities? Can you introduce new products to your current customer base? Are there new products that could be introduced to bring in additional customers, you know, and really examine that relationship that they have with their customers, and making sure that their customers know that they appreciate them and they want them to come back and they're thankful that they're supporting the business.
One thing that a small business can do in reaction to economic conditions that maybe a larger one can't is turn on a dime and make the changes that need to be done very quickly. As an example, let's take, say, a mining company and look at globalization, or a paper company. They have a lot of legacy costs that are built in, you know, higher wages, unionized wages that are a standard thing in the United States. But when you're competing suddenly with global companies that don't pay as well or have to meet pollution laws, all of a sudden they're in a real box. It's hard for them to turn on a dime because culture isn't going to turn on a dime, whereas a small company can make some adjustments or go high tech in a hurry because you don't have to invest $500 million to catch up to your competitors.
Yeah, I think the need to be, you know, focused and adaptable certainly rose to the top over the last few years. And you know, the people who were able to do that and, you know, could really articulate where they provide value to customers and make changes to their business did really well and are doing well now, I would say. And others that didn't, you know, you see kind of fall to the wayside, and the costs there are sometimes difficult to see. But, you know, I think, you know, part of it coming in is surrounding yourself with a team, surrounding yourself with a group of people that can help you make those changes and look at it. And, you know, I think the last couple of years has really been, I remember end of 2009 when, you know, in the aviation sector, when that, a lot of that just really started to crash and we were getting calls, you know, trying to meet payroll and you try to get to adjust to a new customer base or make some of those changes. And it's not easy, but, you know, like I said, the people who made the hard choices, focused and adapted, were able to do it. And I think that created some good role models and influences. You know, some of the businesses we see, it's pretty amazing to watch, see them now as compared to, you know, 3 years ago.
And now as things start to improve, if they continue on the path of, you know, looking at these, what value they're providing and really being on top of their operations, then hopefully when another downturn comes, they will be better prepared and continue on just as successfully.
You're listening to Community Conversations on KUMD. We're talking about owning your own business, small business in the Northland this evening. Our guests in the studio are Sean Wellnitz, the president of the Entrepreneur Fund. Jennifer Pontinen is a business consultant with UMD's Center for Economic Development. And Ron Brochu is the co-owner and editor of Business North. When you hear the word entrepreneur, it's hard not to think about a pioneer, in a sense. If you want to go into business by yourself, do you have to be breaking new ground?
The first thing that's important for anyone going into business, I think, is to define what success means to them. And there's a lot of folks who, you know, come in and maybe it's a lifestyle they want to have, or maybe it's a small income they want to create. And there are, you know, there's roadmaps for that. There's, you know, whether you're a high school student that starts a lawn care business, that, you know, business model has been there for many a years and still exists. There's still a roadmap. And I think that's a different sort of definition. Are you a small business owner? And I think of that as you want to own a business and you want to achieve kind of a certain point. And if you're an entrepreneur, you probably want to, you know, sort of take your business to the next level, no matter where you start from. You know, you could be that lawn care business that wants to be bigger. And it really just has to do with really the, I think, the desire of the person who's running the business, and that can interchange over time. You know, at some point they just may be happy with what they're doing and later want to grow. But I think it's important to look at it through that lens. So I think that it's very much for people listening, it's definitely a viable option. I mean, it really is from a, you know, depending, but I think it's important to kind of come into it being clear about what you want, because you do pay, you know, alternative costs for that. You know, you give up time, you give up money. And it's just important kind of know going into it, you know, will the rewards that I'm going after really kind of outweigh the costs and the time and resources I'm giving up to get there too.
Why do people want to open a small business? What do you find that are some of the reasons that people give for saying, this is what I want to do?
Really, there's no typical, I want to start a business because, you know, yeah, I think during the recession, more people came in and said, I'm interested in starting a business because I need to replace my income or supplement my income. You know, I've been, or maybe now's the time. They just realize they have the opportunity where they can take this hobby and turn it into a business. So the recession did actually present some opportunities in that way. But it varies. And what I see as the people that have the most success are those that truly have a passion for what they plan to do, that product they plan to sell, that service they plan to provide. It's not so much the ones that come in saying, I'm replacing my income or I'm adding, you know, an income. Mm-hmm. It's they need to have a passion for what they do because then they have the greatest chance of success.
Yeah, money can't be your primary motivator because it doesn't sustain you. I mean, that should be a goal, absolutely. But it doesn't sustain you when the times get hard or when you come up against challenges, which you inevitably will. So, you know, I think the as Jennifer mentioned, the reasons they do are often they're wide and varying. But I think if someone comes in and says, I want to start this business because I want to make $50,000, you know, or $100,000 a year, and that's it, there's no other reason, not going to work. Mm-hmm. And I think you have to also be honest. I think we've got to be fair about also what you need to run a business successfully. And there has to be a sort of baseline skill set there, whether in marketing, finance. You know, you certainly have to know your product and service very well, but you've got to build some other ones too. And coming into a business, I think you have to have that baseline of knowledge coming in before you start too, because it's really difficult to just learn on the job right from day one.
They always say about having children that if you waited for a good time to have kids, you would never have kids. Does that hold true for starting a small business?
It's always a good time to start a small business. I think absolutely. I think you're right. The time is different for everyone. You know, the time strikes you and you're ready to run with it. So it could be any time. Like I said, the recession, maybe people initially would say, this isn't a good time to start a small business. But actually, it wasn't a bad time to look at the opportunity.
My partner and I purchased Business North at the kind of at the lower dip of the recession. And it was a tough time. But on the other hand, was a time when say newspapers were selling at a low point instead of the high point they had a few years earlier. So they're, you know, you can do it, I think, no matter when. But it helps greatly to have, you know, as Sean was referring to, the expertise or to acquire the expertise, which is something this area is blessed with, organizations like those represented by my colleagues here that will help someone like me who knows a lot about journalism, maybe, but not a lot about finance or marketing.
It's probably very true that there are people who should not try to run their own business. Maybe people have a lot more of an ability than they give themselves credit for. So what are some of the most common roadblocks that people face that they can get over with the right help?
I think it's an evolution. And I don't think of it as roadblocks. I think of it as kind of a continuum in looking at when entrepreneurs start. And there's really kind of four key skill sets you got to have. I would say first it starts with, I would just say, basic kind of personal maturity, you know, in terms of being able to handle, obstacles, hard times. You know, and some people will say, I'm just not risk prone or that's not something I want to go into. And I think that's a fair assessment. But I think the other three are really critical ones that you build over time. They're technical knowledge. You need to learn marketing, finance, sales, all those components. They move into managerial, you know, how to manage other people, how to, you know, motivate and inspire, how to build a culture. And the last one is entrepreneurial, which is, you know, when you're facing those tough times, you know, and difficult times, can you make the switch? Can you look in the, you know, kind of greater marketplace and say, I can move here, I can move there, and I can make that all happen. And I think that's a continuum that builds. And I think it's important that we've got a mix of entrepreneurs in the region that kind of, you know, have, you know, more or less of that, but that we as organizations, you know, develop those skills of entrepreneurs to, because it's, you have to look at it separately. There's entrepreneurs and what their businesses need, and they're constantly trying to build their skills to match what their business needs. And not one organization can do it, not one person can do it. It takes a network of peers, it takes a lot of people to make that happen. But I think when you look at it from that perspective and take that approach, you can identify where people are at, what their business needs, and really wrap around them to give them the help they need at the right time. You know, you can talk about what you think they should do, but when it's right there in front of them at the right time, that's when they're willing to kind of make some changes and develop some skills.
You know, and you look at the statistics that show how many businesses fail, majority of businesses fail. You know, I mean, there's a number of different statistics that say that. But those that seek assistance have a greater chance of success, and that is documented, that is proven. So there are a number of resources available to help them gather those additional skill sets, like Sean mentioned. And if they can add to their skill sets, that's one thing. That's one way they can do it. But they can also add people. They can surround themselves, again, with people that have those skills to build up that business successfully. You can't do it alone. And that's what I think both Sean and myself are here to help you out with.
And at the Entrepreneur Fund, we finance about 80 entrepreneurs a year that come in at varying different stages, whether they're startups or growth. But we look for some common themes. Have they articulated where they want to get to? You know, are they open to help or to finding others? Or have they already demonstrated ways that they can either, you know, build knowledge or acquire it? And we look at it as kind of a long-term investment. You know, we're not looking for them to sort of make it today. We're looking at it to say, you know, over the course of the next 5, 6, 10 years, are they someone that we can really work alongside with and help them build their business, knowing there's going to be ups and downs? And we tend to look at it from the long-term approach. And so I think anyone out there listening, it doesn't mean you have to have it all right now. It just means come in with your eyes wide open, surround yourself with good people, and inspire people around your vision and what you want to do. And it's amazing, and especially in this community, how people will come together to help you out. Boy, you talk to other entrepreneurs who have made it, who are willing to reach out, or other, you know, private consultants that are willing to give their time. It's really impressive. I think when you can kind of embrace putting yourself out there and saying, I'm a little fearful or I don't know this, you know, good things happen. They really do in this region.
What is your best advice to someone who wants to start a small business?
Think big and start small.
Jennifer, what about you? What do you tell folks?
Plan. Do a lot of work up front to address those issues that we just talked about, those shortfalls that we just talked about, to learn about your product and service, to learn about the market, to understand numbers and how the numbers tell the story of the business and what you can expect as far as income, as far as expenses. Do a lot of planning up front. Get all of that taken care of up front. A lot of people shy away at the thought of developing a business plan because it's just this big document, these, you know, numbers and numbers of pages of paper that I'm creating. The value of doing that plan is for you so that you can answer those questions up front so that when the time comes, you're prepared, or at least you've thought of it.
Ron, you're in a unique position because you're not only watching and reporting on small businesses from the outside, but you've also been a new small business from the inside. What would be your best advice?
I would say work hard and don't be afraid to make real difficult decisions, because you will get to a point where you'll see something in your operation that's not working and you're just going to have to do something drastic, and you need to do it to be successful. You have to make some sort of hard changes or just tough things. And there are plenty of people out there who can give you advice on how to do it right, avoid damage, and just share their expertise.
Community Conversations is a monthly program here on KUMD dedicated to topics of interest in our community and fostering our community connections. I'm your host, Lisa Johnson. Thank you so much to our guests, Sean Wellnitz, the president of the Entrepreneur Fund, Jennifer Pontinen, business consultant with UMD Center for Economic Development, and Ron Brochu, a co-owner and editor of Business North. Community Conversations is produced by Lisa Johnson with assistance from Chris Harwood and Maya Jensen, and funded by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.